Welcome, welcome to our Family Time Midweek Series. How's everybody doing?
Well.
Good, good, good. Thank you for being flexible this evening. We're excited about starting this series. You know, this series came from the inspiration of the name. One, several weeks back, I preached about the difference between a house guest and a family member. And when you come and you are a house guest, there's different expectations than you have from somebody who is part of the family. And you can come and hang out, but once you decide that you want to stay, then that means there's some responsibilities that we all have and expectations that we have of one another. And so as we thought about the fact that we have a number of young Christians and we thought about, okay, how do we want to go into the new year? You know, we always have those young Christian classes. We said, you know, it'd be good for all of us to go through back to the basics classes during midweeks to get make sure we're all on the same page as to what God expects from us as a church and what we expect from one another. Because the truth is that different churches and different congregations have different expectations from their members. Mm-hmm. There's different methodologies. There's different ways they do things, right? And we want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. I can't take credit for this. This was a lot of my wife's brainchild. And so she came up with the syllabus. She came up with the titles. So whatever you don't like, you can... No, I'm just kidding. No, she did an amazing job. And what we want to do when we're done is just have a little bit of time of discussion in smaller groups. And we split it up this way so that we can have some fellowship with other people that we're not usually used to and get to know different people and have great fellowship. Other weeks, what we'll do is split it up by men and women. And so we'll have more, be able to have more intimate talks then. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Dear God, we thank you so much for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for every single person in this room. And we also thank you for our brothers and sisters meeting up on the north side of town as well, God. We're so grateful for what you've given us. And we pray, God, that we can be great stewards of this church, Father. And God, first and foremost, God, to be able to please you, we know that's what's most important, Lord, and we pray that you give us soft hearts, God, that you give us childlike hearts, Lord, so that we may be with you for eternity, God. We know the scripture says that we must become like the little ones, Father. Help us to have that humility tonight. Help us to learn and grow and mature in our character through this midweek series, and help us grow closer together. We love you, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the first class, the first week, we're going to talk about submission to God. Submission to God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. And what we want to do, the first thing is, what do we sign up for? As disciples of Jesus Christ, what did we sign up for? Well, we signed up to submit to God.
Yeah.
We said, okay, we surrender, Jesus. Your way is better than my way.
Yeah.
I've tried it my own way. It doesn't work. And I don't like this way that I've been going. I don't like this path I've been going in.
Yeah.
So, God, I want you. I want you to show me the path. I want you to show me the way. I believe and trust in your will for my life more than my own.
Yeah.
And that's what we signed up for. When we made Jesus Lord, we made him master of our lives, right?
Yes.
And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We want to keep that heart of a disciple.
Yeah.
And what is the heart of a disciple? One of humility.
Yeah.
One of being a student.
Yeah.
One of being a learner, right? And so our most humble days should not be when we are studying the Bible.
Right. Amen.
We should be even more humble once we get the Holy Spirit and we mature in the faith.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we want to keep that humble heart, that learner's heart, but it all starts with a submission to God and understanding who God is and what our attitude should be toward him.
Yep.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it says that our kingdom, the kingdom of God, it's unshakable.
Yeah.
That no matter what we go through in our lives, we know that the kingdom of God will stand firm. Amen?
Amen.
And while things may be unstable in our personal lives, and while things may be unstable in the church, and while things may be unstable in your small group, in your ministry, that's different from the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is unshakable, and we can be find security in that. And because of that, let us be thankful. Let us be grateful. Have a grateful heart.
Yeah.
And so worship God acceptably. So what does that teach us? That there's a way to worship God that's unacceptably.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
And so how are we doing in our worship of God?
Yeah.
Now let's start with the basics of what we call praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start with that. Right? How are we doing with just singing to God, right? How are we doing with having respect and reverence when we come in together as a body and we are praying, right? What are we in our Bibles? What, are we being attentive? Just the basic of, man, am I singing with all my heart? Just that basic, you know, but God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. Here he talks about with reverence and awe. There should be a deep respect and an awe of God. Like, man, this is amazing. When we come to God and on our own, and when we come to God together, man, there should be a certain awe, respect. Now, the problem is that some of us just didn't grow up understanding healthy respect.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I say all the time that there was not a man I respected up until I was about 17 years old, and my wrestling coach was the first guy I respected. All the other guys that I tried to respect would let me down over and over again. And I said, man, I can't respect you. And really, I had a chip on my shoulder. I'm like, you got to earn my respect. You got to earn my respect. And you want me to respect you? You got to respect me. And it was all about me. I didn't understand this healthy respect and fear that we should have just for adults, right? Just for older people. I didn't even get that. And yet, now I'm being called to respect God, my Father, and have awe and reverence for Him. And so I've had to learn what that means over the years. So,
amen.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a great way to start off 2017, you know, with really just reconnecting with the basics. I think when we study the Bible, we're in awe. You know, we're overwhelmed with gratitude. And really, that should continue to grow as we mature in being disciples. I think we want to really pray about, like, just how to have that deep respect. I think as women, that's something we're trying to learn anyway. You know, we have to learn how we can be respectful and confident at the same time. And that we don't have to pick either or. But really, how we can pray about how can we stop just fitting God in, you know? Well, I'll just insert him here. You know, we really got to go back to, man, I want him to be everything. I want to know how you think, God. I want to know what would be respectful to you, God, versus I'm going to make a decision and hope it's not sin, you know, or I'm going to do this and see how I can make it spiritual. Like, we got to remember to go back to that reverent heart that takes our cues from Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
From Jesus. It's got to be about God. Mm-hmm. It can't be about what people think. It can't be about pleasing people. It can't be about a culture. It can't be about the norm. It can't be about what's comfortable, what's not. It has to be about God.
Amen.
Do we love God? Do we submit to God? Are we giving him complete control over our lives?
Because
that's what we signed up for.
Right.
Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Talked about that on Sunday, right? That it starts in our minds, right? Perspective. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do.
Mm-hmm.
For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, everybody is judged on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Not comparatively. He judges us all impartially, and it's just. Mm-hmm. Live your lives as strangers here on earth in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of this world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you.
Amen.
Every single person who is a member of this church, a family member of the path, has had the word of God preached to you.
That's right.
And here he starts off saying, hey, listen, live as strangers of this world. We got to make sure that we don't get caught up in the world, being like the world, fitting into the world. We should have reverent fear of God, understanding that, man, there's got to be a separation. There's got to be a real separation between the world and us, out of fear for God, out of reverence, out of respect for God. It says, listen, you were saved from this empty way of life. Remember what it was like when you studied the Bible. Mm-hmm. You became a Christian for a reason.
That's right.
If it was so good, you would have never gotten baptized. Mm-hmm. If the world was so amazing, you wouldn't be here today. But sometimes we forget how desperate we were for God.
Yeah.
He says how empty we were.
Yeah.
And this emptiness that was handed out by their forefathers. But really, for us, so many of us, have generation to generation, we look back at our parents and our parents' parents and our parents' parents, and we see this generation of sin, dysfunction in our families. And we inherited that, but now with God, we get a new inheritance in his family. And then he takes us back to, you know what? It's about the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
God's perfect lamb, mm-hmm. who without defect, without blemish. This Jesus was perfect here on earth and was sacrificed for our imperfections. If we want to make it as disciples, it has to be about Jesus. I was praying to God on the way here. Like, God, thank you so much for Jesus, that Jesus always gets me back on track. Jesus always brings me back to center.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The center of that cross.
Amen.
Because that's the thing that for me, when I struggle, when I face challenges, when I feel like giving up, it's like, okay, but Jesus is still up on that cross.
Mm-hmm.
Though things may change, Jesus is still up on that cross. Mm-hmm. And lastly, it talks about the word of God. And how, you know what, men are like grass, the flowers of the field, grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is our standard.
Mm-hmm.
It's our standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is the Bible still the standard for you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are you still like, whatever the Bible says, I'll do it?
Mm-hmm.
Or has it become more complicated? The word of God has to be the standard. The culture changes. Laws change. Morally acceptable behavior changes.
Mm-hmm.
Our own lives change. Our situations. We grow up. We go into different phases of life. We change cities. I mean, we move all types of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the word of God stands forever.
Right.
Yeah. Are you still making the Bible your standard? Do you obey the Bible? No questions asked. Yes, I'm going to submit to the Bible. Over our feelings, over our emotions, over our temptations,
mm-hmm.
over our own life situations. Do we say, you know what, I feel this way, but this is what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still have that type of respect for God's word, that he says it, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody disciples you, shows you a scripture, do you accept it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you submit to it, or do you argue against it, or try to find a loophole around it? You say, well, I don't know about where you're coming from. Do you go against the messenger instead of the message?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or is the message still that powerful in your life
right.
the way God wants it to be?
Amen.
Yeah. I think this message is powerful to me just because, you know, he calls us out. I mean, he says you used to be ignorant. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember as a single woman, you know, like feeling like in my ignorance, you know, it's all about a man or it's all about, you know, what if I was in campus at the time, what grades I have. That's where I find my worth. I find my worth in how other people feel about me. You know, it's all these things that we were ignorant of. We were thinking that this is what was most important, you know, as a married woman and as a mom. I mean, society is at war for our hearts every single day, you know, with just worldliness, with what we should aspire for. And I think this challenge here to be holy, which is to be set apart, is something that's very easy to lose sight of. You know, it's something that we kind of put to the side. You know, I want to be slightly different. You know, I want to be, but I kind of want to still be the same, you know? And it's like, it's something that has to be a consuming fire in our heart that we want to be different. We want to be different single women. When everybody else is concerned about men and career and getting ahead and being deceitful and being ratchet, like, I'm concerned about the things of God, you know? When the married women are concerned about what she got on and where do your kids go to school and what activities are they in and how much does your husband make, like when they're concerned about those things, we're concerned about being holy, right? You know, my husband discipled me twice this week in this area. The first time was when, you know, we're praying about moving. Okay, I live like near like schools that are like twos. Okay, I'm praying about moving to schools that are tens. Okay, and he's like, you know what, honey, I prayed that our kids will go to a school that will help them become Christians. That's the school I want my kids to end up in. I'm like, oh, Lord. That was lesson number one. Lesson number two, I'm coming home from my fitness class. I'm like, man, honey, I talked to the other fitness instructors, and they were like, man, you don't need to follow those rules. Like, you'll have, like, much more people in your class if you don't follow. So I'm like, so maybe, honey, I can bend something a little way so that I can get more people, you know, and then I can reach out to more people. You know, if I won't do exactly what they told me not to do, but I just, and he said, he just listened to me. And then he said, honey, you are not there to get lots of people in your class. You are there to be a light and to reach out to the women that are there. And I'm like, oh, man. So amen for a partner that can help bring you back. But just that consuming fire to be holy and set apart. And how are we doing with that?
Amen. Well, first I told her she's an amazing instructor.
Yes, he did.
That's what I told her. I said, you are an amazing instructor.
But that's not why you did. So, thanks, honey.
But it is so challenging. And really, you know, what I struggle with is at times looking at the world and thinking, man, I want to have fun like that. Mm. I want to be carefree like that. Psalm 73 is a good psalm that talks about that. It's like, man, that just looks so good sometimes. And where it starts is a little bit of discontent in my heart with my own life. And what I got with the brothers, I'm like, just recently, I think it was last week, I'm like, man, there's just times where a little bit of discontent starts. There's a seed of it. And if I don't deal with that, then I start looking around to see how I can fill it, but not with God and His Word, but how I can be more like the world or seek that worldly pleasure or fun or status or whatever it may be. Yeah. So we got to be aware when that discontentment happens in our hearts. Yeah. That's when we really start looking to the world. Look over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 in verse 21. James chapter 1 in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's just stop there for a second. Humbly accept the word that is planted in you. All of us have had the word of God planted in us. Yeah. Are we still accepting it, right?
Yeah.
The word that can save you. You know, Mike talked about it on Sunday at talking to somebody or talking to each other. It's like, well, how are you? I'm not doing well. What's the last time you read your Bible? Well, I've stopped reading my Bible. Listen, what I've told, this is where I'm at, right? And this is the standard I hold myself to. If I'm not doing the basics of what God told me to do, I can't complain. So many times I'm like, man, I'm not feeling it today. Or I can't believe this ain't happening the way I want. Or this, and it's like, are you doing the basics, Angel? Are you reading? Did you read your Bible today? Did you spend time praying to God? Are you getting open with the brothers? Are you sharing your faith? If you're not doing the basics, and for me, I can't really get mad at God because that's where we go, right?
Right.
The bottom line is that's where we go. When we struggle,
yeah,
our heart's like, it's your fault, God. Why are you making me struggle? All right, why are you tempting me? Why are you? No, you don't tempt, but you're allowing me to be tempted. It's the same thing. Why are you allowing me to go through this, God? And it's like, well, are you doing the basics?
Right.
The Word of God saves us. Yes. You know, and going on in verse 22, do not merely listen to the Word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's your memory scripture.
Okay.
That's your memory scripture for this Amen. Week. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You know what that means? If you don't do it, you're not going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you had quiet time and by lunchtime you forgot?
Completely.
I've done it. Somebody may ask you, you start thinking about it. What was that scripture? Why? Because I had to put it in practice.
Right.
And I hadn't shared it with nobody. Deceive yourself by thinking you're spiritual. You're close to God, maybe because you felt close for those 30 minutes, but really it's not clicking. But in verse 25, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Man, I love that. Looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. That's the hard part.
Yep.
Consistency. Following through with the great decision you made to make the Bible your standard, your great confession that Jesus Lord, to continue to do it. It's okay. It's easy to do it for a week, for a couple of years, but to continue to do it,
right,
not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it will be blessed in what he does. Blessed or... what does blessed mean?
Happy.
Joyful. Were we in the happiness series? Yeah? What does blessed mean? Happy. We are happy when we obey the Bible. It may hurt for a little while. It may be a sacrifice, but we're just happier people because we're at peace with God. We're at peace with God. What do you have?
You know, this scripture for me just it there's no excuse. And I think for the women, I want to challenge us to make this the year of no excuses. You know, we can really talk ourselves into a lot of things that are not right. And we're walking around deceived. There are some areas that we're doing stellar in every one of our lives. And then there are some areas where the excuses are like multiplied every time somebody talks to you about it, every time God, like the Spirit puts it on your heart and you kind of ignore it, you know. And so I think, you know, just being able to go back to the fact that like God is my master, he's my king. And when I'm not obeying him, it's not only disobedient, disrespectful, it's not going to lead me to a place I want to go. And I want to be blessed. I want to be happy. I want to make him happy. And, you know, this is a thing where we deceive ourselves, too. The more we say no, the easier it is to say no, and the further away we get back from saying yes.
You got
to
say that one again, honey.
I don't even know what I just said.
The more we say no,
the easier it is to say no, and then the harder it is to get back to saying yes. And so I think we got to get back to coming from a place of yes. And even as our brothers and sisters in Christ, when you hear somebody talking crazy, okay, when you hear them saying no, when you hear them making excuses, stop them, challenge them, say something. Yes, it's just them, but they want discipling. They need discipling. And on our part, don't make it hard for them to disciple you. Oh, girl, you don't know what I'm talking. Did you not just hear what I said? I said I'm trying. I'm sorry. You know, like, I hate when I do that. I hate when I make it hard for Angel to talk to me about something or another sister. I'm sorry. I'm apologize right now. Like, I want to be that person that's like, thank you. Yes. Can you share a scripture with me to help me with what I just told you? So getting back to the no excuses, the word is bond, and I'm going to do it.
The word is bond. Here. So this is about our relationship with God, but listen, we cannot have spiritual relationships if we're not obeying the Bible.
Yeah.
Because everybody who's here, who's a member, we expect, because they said, you said Jesus Lord, I said Jesus Lord, then we expect that we can, this is the standard, it's like in a marriage. Like, I expect Christina to humble out to the word. She expects me to humble. That's why the marriage can work. That's how our relationships can really work. If once we stop doing that, then there's really no basis for our relationships. Because then it's like, okay, well, what's this standard? What's that standard? No, it's one standard.
Right.
It's the Bible. Mm-hmm. Go over to chapter 4, James chapter 4. In verse 4. James chapter 4, in verse 4. You adulterous people. I'm sorry, this is a rough message. Fire and brimstone tonight. Christina picked out these scriptures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? And so we know this is not talking about Jesus being a friend of sinners, right? We're talking about when we start compromising for the world, right? And it says that the Spirit envies. The Spirit, God loves us so much that he's envious of our love. Just like I'm envious of, I don't want Christina cheating on me. Anybody married would understand that type of love, right, wives? Right? It's like, I wish you would. Right? And so God loves us more than we love each other as married couples. And so he's like, no, I want you. I love you so much. I don't want to share you with the world. And I don't want to share you with the enemy. Right. Wasn't it an old movie, Sleeping with the Enemy?
Yeah.
I don't want to share you with the one who's going to destroy your life.
Yeah.
I love you too much for that. But he gives us more grace. Mm-hmm. I love that. But he gives us, after a hard scripture, he says, but he gives us more grace. Mm-hmm. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. There is no grace without humility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no discipleship without humility, and therefore there's no grace. God opposes the proud. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God. He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Mm-hmm. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Once we forget we're in a spiritual battle, then we will be very frustrated with ourselves because we are constantly being tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just had this epiphany. I mean, I was really struggling. I'm like, God, man, I've been in faith 13 years. Why am I struggling with this? Why am I feeling tempted? How can I read my Bible and then 10 minutes later act like I didn't read my Bible, right? How can it even be a challenge for me?
Right.
I'm a pastor, for God's sake. Surely I should be spiritual. And then I realized, no, it's a spiritual battle.
Amen.
What do I expect? I have to expect that there's going to be a challenge. I have to expect there's going to be a battle. I have to expect that I will have to resist the devil today.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wake up expecting that at some point he's going to come after me.
Right.
And it's not just that I'm a bad guy, right?
Right.
It's not just that I'm just a weak person.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a battle going on.
Right?
Right? Satan's after us, so we must resist. We have to be close and near to God. But my question for us, is this still our hearts when it comes to our repentance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or was the most radical thing we did was when we studied the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
All of us fall. All of us struggle. All of us sin.
Right.
Right? One, have we gotten open about it? Or are we in sin now? In stuff that nobody knows about? And are we having this heart that I'm willing to do whatever to purify my heart? And thank God that we are purified by the blood of Jesus. But he's talking about here this sanctification process that we go through as disciples.
Right.
And are we willing to get serious, to mourn, to wail, to change our laughter to sadness? Like, man, I need to change.
Right.
I need to, God, help me. Because this is serious. Our lives, our eternal lives are at stake.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is making me think about Layla. So right now, Layla's in this period where, like, whenever she does something wrong, you know, you're like, so Layla, that's not what I asked you to do. And she's like, oh my gosh, I messed up, mommy.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, dang, like, okay, you know. And so it kind of, when we read stuff like this and hear stuff like this, you know, we can kind of be tempted to go into that mode of like, oh my gosh, I'm terrible, and it becomes overwhelming, but it leads to no change, you know. And what convicts me here, you know, what we try to help Layla with is, it's okay, you're learning, just repent and do it right. Say I'm sorry and keep it moving, you know. And it's like, and it's almost painful. Like, I'm like, Layla, come on, Layla, you don't have, I mean, she's freaking out at every instance. But I told Angel, I think sometimes she does that, but I'm like, is the heart really? Layla's like, and you know, he's daddy's little girl, so he's like, no, she really feels bad. I don't know, she's a little actress, you know, but you know, just praying for this heart to have a genuine concern. Like, God, I am genuinely concerned when you expose things in my heart. And praying for this humble heart. And I love that he says he's going to give us what we need to stand against the evil desires. He's going to give us grace, but we got to have humility.
Right.
When we submit and when we're humble, then we can resist. Then we can flee. Then we can come close to God, wash our hands, purify our heart. Like, all of that has to come. It comes following the humble heart and the desire to be determined to rid ourselves of these evil desires and let God in more and more. So,
So thank you so much, honey. We'll go ahead and wrap things up there. Your homework will be Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And so study that out to keep that learner's heart, that humble heart, as we continue to grow in our relationship with God.
And I would just add to that, when you're studying out that scripture, I would pray about the areas where you are leaning on your own understanding and the areas where you are too wise, if that makes sense. Quote, unquote, too wise.
Yeah, what are you not taking to God? What are you not asking Him for permission about? Right? Do you still pray, say, God, make it clear? God, I want to do what you want me to do.
Right.
What you tell me to do, I'll do. And I'll wait on that.
Right.
Show me in the Bible what decision I should make. I think so many times we just get caught up in the day-to-day and we forget to even ask God.
Right. Right.
And we just are leaning on our own selves to make decisions, and there's so much at stake. So at this point, we're going to take some time to discuss a little bit more in our small groups.